RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Social First Minister launches vocational curriculum for disability students. Watch the solution for pedophiles, castrate, jail, and execute. Mayor Ridwan Kamil and Ganjar Pranowo win Inspirational Public Figures Award. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa launched vocational curriculum for disability students at the Bina Daksa Vocational Rehabilitation Center in Cibiran Bogor West Java. The curriculum was initiated and prepared by JIS Indonesia, or the German Cooperation Agency. In the launching curriculum at the National Workshop with the theme Inclusive World for Disabilities on Tuesday, October 27th in Jakarta, Minister Kofifa said that the curriculum can be applied in various vocational training institutions in Indonesia. Through the new curriculum, it is expected to provide equal opportunities for persons with disabilities to get a job. When they try to get a good vocational, a good mentor, they can be very productive. The center, the Minister of Social Affairs, together with JIS as a role model, could be applied in other vocational training. So when it is communicated to the corporation owners, this will be an entrance and opportunity for persons with disabilities to have equal opportunity to work.
Para pemilik perusahaan, para korporasi, ini akan menjadi pintu masuk peluang bagi penyandang disabilitas untuk mendapatkan kesamaan kesempatan bekerja.
Minister Kofifa said currently there are 16 regulations that govern persons with disabilities to have equal opportunities in obtaining employment. However, in practice, the regulation has not eliminated discrimination. She hopes in the future, Indonesia could follow China, where in one city there are 20 vocational training centers for persons with disabilities in cooperation with companies to deliver graduates and get a job. The Indonesian government's watchdog for child protection has demanded that convicted pedophiles face state prison sentences, including the possibility of death, in addition to a government proposal for forced chemical castration. The 2014 child protection law stipulates mandatory sentences of 5 to 15 years for sex crimes against minors. Erlinda Todd says the law should be revised to include the possibility of death sentence. The KPAI has joined a chorus of support from conservative groups and politicians for the government's plan to introduce a regulation permitting the chemical castration of convicted pedophiles. Critics Todd point out that the Indonesian justice system is so severely flawed that the risk of innocent person being subjected to this punishment is unacceptably high. The KPAI, government-funded body, and the National Commission for Child Protection, or Komnas Anak, an NGO, have declared Indonesia to be a great of child sex abuse emergency, following recent spate of cases of sexual assault against minors. Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil and Governor of Central Java Ganjar Pranowo were awarded as the Inspirational Public Figures in the 4th Indonesian Public Relations Award and Summit, or IPRAS. IPRAS was held by United Press Company SPS in Central Jakarta on Tuesday. Gubernur Ganjar and Mayor Ridwan Kamil were assessed to have inspirational visions of work, pro-people policies, local budget transparency, and ease of access to public services, creation of public spaces, and access to education became a number of inspiring works carried out by the two leaders. In addition to Ganjar and Kamil, this year the United Press Company SPS also gave IPRAS awards for inspirational public institution and inspirational public relations figures. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing and National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas were selected as inspirational public institutions, while Inspirational Public Relations Figures Award was given to Murti Utami, head of the Public Relations of Minister of Health, and Nurlaila Arif, head of the Corporate Communication PT Bio Pharma Persero, and Arif Prabowo, Vice President Corporate Communication of PT Telkom. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Education and Culture Minister is holding Melanesian Culture Festival from October 26 up to 30, 2015 in Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. The festival is attended by participants from Melanesian countries, namely Papua New Guinea, Fiji, Timor Leste, Vanuatu, New Caledonia, and Solomon Islands. Culture Director of Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry, Kacun Marijan, in his welcome speech in Kupang on Tuesday, said the culture is hub to increase economy, especially maritime economy base and politics.
From culture, we can extend our understanding each other, and then after knowing, understanding each other, we can improve our cooperation in many aspects, from economy to politics. Finally, by having cultural festival, we can extend our achievement, that is to improve the quality of life of our people, our welfare, the welfare of Melanesian people.
Furthermore, Kacun Marijan said that the festival was expected to build brotherhood and friendship among Melanesian countries. Afterward, peace and prosperity can be achieved. He said cultural cooperation can bridge the differences among Malaysian countries. Melanesia, which is a sub-race covering Indonesia, includes Maluku, North Maluku, East Nusa Tenggara, Papua and West Papua, as well as other countries like Papua New Guinea, Timor Leste, Vanuatu, Fiji and Solomon Islands. The Association of Indonesian Students, PPMI, in Egypt held fundraising event as a concern of Indonesian students in Egypt against smoke disaster that occurred in the country. The fundraising event is part of a health seminar with the theme Being Universal Human, held in Lima's Auditorium, Kemas, Nasir City, Cairo, Egypt, on Monday night, the local time, or on Tuesday morning, West Indonesian time. President of the Association of Indonesian Students, Abdul Ghafur Mahmudin, to RRI correspondent in Cairo, Egypt, after the seminar and fundraising, said the fundraising event will still be held at several PPMI's major events in the next few weeks. Abdul said that the funds raised may not be much, but the most important thing is the concern of Indonesian students in Egypt against smoke disaster that occurs in the country.
Kita mengadakan acara seminar kesehatan dengan tema menjadi manusia universal bersama
Dr. We have just held health minister team Being Universal Human along with Dr. Yusuf Ahmad support, while it is held for fundraising to Indonesian people who are affected by haze in Indonesia. The money is not much, but it is actually aimed at increasing student awareness to help the victims.
Sasaran kita bukan di situnya, Pak, tapi di karena sasaran kita itu di untuk merasakan, pertama merasakan bahwa di Indonesia kena musibah, kita sesama orang Indonesia juga harus merasakan. Salah satunya dengan apa? Meningkatkan kepedulian dengan kita kumpul menggalang dana.
Abdul Ghafur Edit, PPMI, on behalf of Indonesian students in Egypt, asked Indonesian government to enforce the law to take action against the perpetrators of forest fire that caused haze disaster. Indonesian Film Festival as the highest awarding ceremony for Indonesian film industry will be held on November 23, 2015 in Indonesian Convention Exhibition, Tangerang, Banten. On the 60th Indonesian Film Festival this year, the Committee of the event cooperates with the Minister of Education and Culture. On the evening of Indonesian Film Festival Media Center on Tuesday in the Education and Culture Minister in Jakarta, The General Secretary of the Ministry, Didik Suhardi, explained.
Nah, apa saja yang dilakukan tentu di samping mendukung kegiatan-kegiatan yang sifatnya perfilm apa festival ini, tentu kita juga mendukung kegiatan-kegiatan yang lain, misalnya kampanye tentang
besides supporting activities of the film festival, the minister also support other activities, for instance, the Love Indonesian Films campaign. Then we also make serious effort on how film can be part of mental regulation development. That includes developing film as an education tools for children. Moreover, Indonesian government is also committed to giving scholarship for young generation who have talent and dedicated their lives in the film industry. It can be in the form of short course such as cinematography in our country, so our children will have a second layer generation in Indonesian film industry.
Kemampuan yang luar biasa dengan apa dan sangat komitmen dengan perfilman ini bisa dalam bentuk short course. Jadi namanya beasiswa tidak harus S2, tidak harus S3, tapi bisa short course misalnya belajar tentang sinematografi di negara mana ya. Sehingga anak-anak kita dari nanti ada second layernya yang di bawahnya ini nanti tumbuh terus.
Support will also be given in form of material holding the Indonesian Film Festival by Education and Culture Ministry. The ministry will support this stand so Indonesian people will be able to love more Indonesian peoples, the Indonesian films made by Indonesian filmmakers. The last item, Bank Indonesia BI expect that the U.S. Federal Reserve will not raise its benchmark interest rate during the Federal Open Market Committee FOMC meeting, which started Tuesday and ends Wednesday. The central bank will hold a board of governors meeting to decide whether to increase the Bank Indonesia rate, which is currently 7.5%. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Perry Warjiwo told reporters on Tuesday, after Bank Indonesia launched a board entitled Islamic Banking Journey in Indonesia in Surabaya, that Bank Indonesia would respond to any move the U.S. central bank made, combining the external factors with the domestic monetary situation such as inflation, the rupiah exchange rate, and gross domestic product GDP growth. The Federal Reserve will issue a policy statement at the conclusion of its two-day meeting on Wednesday. The global market expects the U.S. central bank to hold off on its first rate hike in nearly a decade until next year, as the U.S. economy has yet to improve as expected. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Europe is Looking Forward to Polish Foreign Policy. Listener, last Sunday, October 25, 2015, Polish people elected their parliament members. According to the preliminary result, the Right National Party, Law and Justice Party or PIS, won 37% of the votes. With this result, the National Party doesn't need to make coalition with other parties. It has been for the first time since Poland restored its democracy in 1989. BBC News reported on Monday, October 26, 2015, that the leader of the party, Jarosław Kaczyński, claimed their victory. The Prime Minister of Poland, Ewa Kopacz, has also admitted their defeat. Polish transformation from communist country to European healthy economy has become one of the success stories in the European Union. However, the dissatisfaction on unequal prosperity distribution was the main cause of the defeat of the dominant party. The leader of Law and Justice Party, who was former Polish Prime Minister Jarosław Kaczyński, was known very skeptic to European Union, especially to Germany. In the Kaczyński's government, Poland hated Germany for its colonization to Poland in World War II. This hatred increased because Germany did not agree with Poland's ambition to be NATO's base in Europe. According to Germany, the Polish ambition will only provoke Russia. Poland and Russian relationship have also worsened since annexation to Crimea and Poland's plane crash in Russia in 2010, which killed Polish high-ranking officers. Polish foreign policy has changed after Ewa Kopacz became prime minister. Nevertheless, at the present, the victory of PIS party led by Jarosław Kaczynski restores Polish foreign politics. Although the Polish prime minister candidate from PIS party, Beata Szydło, has not had confrontation style, Kaczynski is still holding the control and his belief to Germany and European Union is still dominant. With strong economic condition, Poland wants to be a key player in European Union. It can be done if Poland creates strong alliance with the East European countries. However, East European countries do not want to break their relationship with Russia, and so do West European countries. If Poland decides to be in contradiction with Russia and Germany, it will be difficult for Poland to develop. Poland will be isolated from the European community. And listener, that's commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on October 28, 1918. Czechoslovakia's independence from Austria-Hungary. Czechoslovakia is a country in Central Europe that gained independence on October 28, 1918, after the dissolution of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. In March 1939, the country has been fully occupied by Germany and disappeared from the map. Then it was occupied by the Soviets, who turned it into a satellite state of the Soviet Union until the collapse of the nation in 1991. At that time, Czechoslovakia tried to revive their democratic state. But ethnic Slavs in the east demanding their own independent state, then Czechoslovakia split up to become the Czech Republic in the west and Slovakia to the east, that is separated by a river in January 1993. On October 28, 1928, declaration of the Indonesian Youth Pledge. The Youth Pledge is an authentic evidence that on October 28, 1928, Indonesian nation was born. Therefore, all Indonesian people commemorate a momentum of October 28th as the day of birth of the Indonesian nation. Building on the spirit of independence, the youth from various ethnic groups and tribes gathered in Jakarta to pledge in the spirit of the struggle for independence through the Youth Pledge, which contains one motherland, one nation, and one language. The process of the birth of the Indonesian nation is the result of the people's struggle, who for hundreds of years oppressed under the colonial rule. The conditions were then encouraged the youth to determine to raise the dignity of Indonesian people. This determination then becomes a commitment of people's struggle until finally achieving independence of 17 years later on August 17, 1945. We conclude today's segment of Today in History. On October 28, 2004, the discovery of Homo floresiensis in Flores Island, Indonesia. The specimens were discovered on the Indonesian island of Flores in 2003 by a joint Australian-Indonesian team of archaeologists looking for evidence of the original human migration of Homo sapiens from Asia to Australia. They were not expecting to find a new species and were surprised at the recovery of nearly complete skeleton of a hominin they dubbed LB1 because it was unearthed inside the Liang Bua cave. Homo sapiens reached the region by around 45,000 years ago. Homo floresiensis was unveiled on October 28, 2004 and was safely nicknamed the Hobbit. After the fictional race, popularized species was Homo habilis. It was initially placed in its own genus, Sundatropus floresianus. But reviewers of the article felt that the cranium, despite its size, belonged in the genus Homo. That was today's segment of Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Void Green. Today we'll talk about spatial mapping constrained by the total of human resources. Development of geospatial information related to the concept of maritime hampered by the limited number of survey personnel. Until now, the Geospatial Information Agency officer only has 3,000 surveys. It resulted in the preparation of spatial maps potentially less appropriate. Compass Daily reported, Geospatial Information Agency, BIC, targeting the Indonesia's coastal environment LBI map in large scale. This is done to support the government's policy in the development of 24 ports. Head of Geospatial Information Agency, Priyadi Cardono, on the sidelines of the 18th Annual Scientific Meeting of the Association of Indonesian Geographers, IGI, on Saturday in Jakarta, said the map-making is expected to be completed in 2018. The Geospatial Information Agency will begin gradually this year at one port, 12 ports for next year, and the rest is up to the initial target. For the development of geospatial data information, Geospatial Information Agency requires more surveyors. Therefore, the agency uses the existing power to meet their targets. Priyadi explained, the base map of Indonesia's coastal environment must be made in detail, with a scale of 1 to 10,000. It is considered to be useful to know the condition of the coastal port, such as the rate of sedimentation and other data. Priyadi added, Indonesia's coastal environment map, including the spatial conditions on land or sea, map on the land to support the activation of the port, for example, the delivery of agricultural products, while in the sea to see the conditions that support the traffic at sea. However, according to Priyadi, the mapping hampered by limitations of the survey personnel. Like applicants cost a little bit universities in Indonesia, which facilitates discipline of geospatial. According to Priyadi, lack of the personnel can have an impact to decrease the accuracy of the map. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Association of Geographers Indonesia, Hartono, added, there is no need for foreign employers in geospatial field because it makes Indonesia increasingly dependent on other countries. According to Hartono, there are four basic components to realize the power of the ocean as a maritime state basis, namely people who have a preference about the sea, maritime resources, geographical position, and political will of the government. In the 8th Annual Scientific Meeting of the Association of Indonesian Geographers, Geospatial Information Agency and the Association of Indonesian Geographers agreed the strategy to associate views of Indonesian geomaritime with the World Maritime Pillar, the strategy named ASTA Tirani, or Eight Strategies. A number of such strategies are, among others, the Sustainable Marine Ecoregion Policy, Diversity-Based Management of the Region, Expansion of the Maritime Spatial Planning, and the development of port infrastructure per cluster. Listener, that was Void Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several newspapers published today in Jakarta, Wednesday, October 28, 2015. We begin with Compass, which in its headline wrote United States ready with 273 trillion rupiah worth business. The government and the U.S. businessmen appreciated the policies of the President Joko Widodo in reforming the country's economy. The trust was reflected in 18 business agreements in this visit. The agreement worth $20 million U.S. dollar, or around 273 trillion rupiahs. The value is 2.5 times more than the latest 5-year U.S. investment in Indonesia, which is around $8 million U.S. dollar. Listen, we continue the headlines with Media Indonesia. Rain begins falling, hotspots decreases. the nature had begun giving hope that the haze will end. Light to the moderate rain on Tuesday fell in several parts of the country. Besides Jambi City, moderate rain fell in other parts of Jambi Province, Batanghari Regency, Muaro Jambi, and West Tanjung Jabung. Meanwhile, heavy rain fell in Pekanbaru, Riau. In the meantime, Republika wrote in its headline, "Foreign Corporation Hunted." Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan promised to take action against any plantation company proven guilty in causing the forest fire, including the foreign corporation. According to Minister Luhut, the government has instructed the National Police not to be selective in punishing all companies in the forest fire case. Well, listener, we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia, success gaining investment. The government will encourage U.S. investors such as General Electric to open a factory in Indonesia so that it will not only supply power plant technology for the 35,000 megawatt project and will be able to produce the technology in the country. Presidential spokesman Ari Dwi Payana said in the middle of the meeting with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo witnessed the signing of the 18 business agreements in the energy sector, transportation, factory expansion, and Sharia banking. The total business agreements worth $20.075 million. From 18 agreements, 11 of them are on energy sector. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa launched a vocational curriculum for disability students at Bina Daksa Vocational Rehabilitation Center in Cibinong Bogor, West Java. The Indonesian government's watchdog for child protection has demanded that convicted pedophiles face state prison sentences, including possibility of death, in addition to a government proposal for forced chemical castration. Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil and Governor of Central Java Ganjar Pranowo were awarded as the inspirational public figures in the 4th Indonesia Public Relations Award and Summit IPRAS. IPRA was held by United Press Company SBS in Central Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry is holding Melanesian Culture Festival from October 26 up to 30, 2015 in Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. The Association of Indonesian Students, PPMI, in Egypt held fundraising event as a concern of Indonesian students in Egypt against a smoke disaster that occurred in Indonesia. Indonesian Film Festival as the highest awarding ceremony for Indonesian film industry will be held on November 23, 2015 in Indonesian Convention Exhibition, Tangerang, Banten. Bank Indonesia BIS said that U.S. Federal Reserve will not raise its benchmark interest rate during the Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, meeting which started on Tuesday and ends on Wednesday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Sumpah Pemuda or Youth Pledge Museum in Jakarta. So stay tuned. Listener, October 28th is commemorated by Indonesia as Youth Pledge Day. Youth Pledge is a major milestone in the history of the Indonesian independence movement. This pledge is considered as crystallization spirit to affirm the ideals of Indonesia's founding fathers. In the second youth conference in Jakarta on October 27 to October 28, 1928, young people took an oath known as the Youth Pledge. This decision affirmed the ideal of the homeland of Indonesia, the people of Indonesia, and one language, Indonesian language. The spirit of these young men until now has still existed. Moreover, when we come to a building on Jalan Kramat Raya No. 106 in central Jakarta. At this building, the Youth Pledge was sworn in for the first time. Listener, a building on Jalan Kramat Raya No. 106 in Central Jakarta is known as Museum Sumpah Pemuda or Youth Pledge Museum. The museum consists of the main building and an open space or meeting room. The main building consists of a front porch, a living room, 5 rooms, and the open space or meeting room has a collection of photographs and objects relating to the history of the Youth Pledge in 1928, as well as activities of national movement of youth in Indonesia. In 2007, there are 2,867 collections. Among the collections, there are some interesting collections such as digital comic of Youth Pledge and violin belongs to Wage Rudolf Supratman. Wage Rudolf Supratman is the songwriter of Indonesia Raya, Indonesian National Anthem. With this violin, he sang Indonesia Raya for the first time in the Second Youth Congress. Listener, the collections of Sumpah Pemuda Museum are exhibited in a permanent exhibition room arranged in accordance with the chronological events of the Youth Pledge to describe the sequence of the Youth Pledge events. Precisely, at the front of the entrance, there is an introduction room with the collections, among others, Indonesian map of regional youth organizations, Jakarta map, which pointed out places where the Youth Pledge was held and the current condition. The committee of the Second Youth Conference, organizations and the youth conferences participants, and also the mock-up of Youth Pledge building. Parallel to the introduction room, there is an area where the youth organizations developed. This room described the initial period of the youth organizations, started with Indonesian Students Associations in the Netherlands. There is also a realia of scout equipment which was used in the 1920s. Going to the first floor, there is a room of the first youth conference, room exhibitions related with the first Indonesian youth conference. Then there is also the second youth conferences room, Indonesia Muda room, Indonesian Student Associations room, and thematic rooms. Indonesia Muda rooms presents collections about youth movement after Youth Pledge was sworn in. Indonesian Students Association's room presents some collections related to Indonesian Students Association after the Second Indonesian Youth Conference. The thematic room consists of 2 rooms located at Pavilion of Gedung Kramat 106. This room presents some collection related to youth activities in 1945, 1966, and 1998. Listener, earlier, the building on Jalan Kramat Raya 106, owned by Si Kong Leong, was a boarding house for students. Since 1925, Gedung Kramat 106 became the meeting point of Indonesian students who joined Young Java organization. Most of them were students of Indian School of Medical Education, or STOVIA, and from RHS Law High School. They held scouts activities, political discussions, and Javanese art exercises. Young Java members and other students called this building with the name Langan Siswo. This building was also to be the headquarters of Indonesian Students Association, which was established in September 1926 after the first youth conference. Because this building was often used for national youth activities, they called this building Indonesia Clubhuis, or the official meeting of national youth. And then it was used as the venue of the second youth conference in 1928. Because this building was not used anymore by young people, then this building was switching its function as a home, then a flower shop and a hotel. Then on April 3, 1973, this building was renovated by Regional Government of Jakarta and became Sumpah Pemuda or Youth Pledge Museum. This museum is open every Sunday until Friday, starting from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. local time. On Saturday and Sunday, it is open from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. local time. It is closed on Monday and national holiday. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today featuring Sumpah Pemuda or Youth Pledge Museum. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, segment which introduces vocabulary and idiomatic in Indonesian language along with its use in the conversation. Today's topic is membeli buku musik, or in English language means buying a music book. So stay tuned. As usual, at first I will present some vocabulary and idioms of Indonesian language related to our today's conversation. I will say each word or phrase twice slowly. You can repeat after me. Rencana, rencana, which means plan. Buku musik, which means music book. Suka, suka, which means like. Bermain musik. Bermain musik, which means playing music. Hobi, hobi, which means hobby. Toko buku, which means bookstore. Membeli, which means to buy. Buku apa, which means what book. Musik pop, which means pop music. Musik jazz, which means jazz music. Beliau means third person singular pronoun used to respect someone, refers to he or she. Musik klasik, which means classical music. Pergi bersama, which means to go together. Well, listener, now here is a sample of the conversation is between Adi or A and Rudy or B. I will say every sentence two times slowly and you may follow after me. A. Selamat sore, Rudy. Selamat sore, Rudy, which means good afternoon, Rudy. B. Selamat sore, Adi. Selamat sore, Adi, which means good afternoon, Adi. A. Sore ini kamu ada rencana kemana? Sore ini kamu ada rencana kemana? Which means, are you planning to go somewhere this afternoon? B. Ya, saya mau ke toko buku. Ya, saya mau ke toko buku. Which means, yes, I'm going to a bookstore. A. Ingin membeli buku apa? Ingin membeli buku apa? Which means, what kind of book do you want to buy? B. Saya ingin membeli buku musik. Saya ingin membeli buku musik. Which means, I want to buy a music book. A. Apakah kamu suka musik? Apakah kamu suka musik? Which means, do you like music? B. Ya, hobi saya bermain musik. Ya, hobi saya bermain musik. Which means, yes, my hobby is playing music. A. Musik jenis apa? Musik jenis apa? Which means, what kind of music? B. Musik pop dan musik jazz. Musik pop dan musik jazz. Which means, pop music and jazz music. A. Apakah ayahmu juga suka musik? Apakah ayahmu juga suka musik? Which means, does your father also like music? B. Ya, beliau suka musik klasik. Ya, beliau suka musik klasik. Which means, yes, he likes classical music. A. Mari kita bersama-sama ke toko buku. Mari kita bersama-sama ke toko buku. Which means, let's go to the bookstore together. Listener, that's the end of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We'll meet again next week with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to two band groups, namely Zenin Band and Strangers Band. We'll firstly introduce you to Zenin Band. Well, listeners, to initiate the segment, let's listen to a song entitled Berhasil by Zenin Band. Happy listening.
Jangan kau campakkan lagi.
music industry is just familiar to Zenin Band that was formed in 2008. The personnel of the band, namely Ju keyboardist, Ami bassist, Diki vocalist, Sony guitarist, and Yudi drummer. But they have experience in performance on stages and composing the songs. Joined in the same community with J-Rock's band, especially Japanese community, Zenin got many experiences from the band that present the Japanese rock music. For Zenin Band, J-Rock's is the band that influenced their music. Moreover, the vocalist Diki has formed the band named J-Rock as simulated to J-Rock. According to Diki, the vocalist, although J-Rock's gave inspiration to Zenin, they have different color of music. By releasing mini album and hit single entitled Benci Mengingatmu, Zenin tries to bring a new color of music with Britpop music. Well, listener, next song entitled Benci Mengingatmu by Zenin will be presented to you. Happy listening. The Ustaz song Benci Mengingatmu by Zenin Band. Now we'll take you to have a look at another band group, namely Strangers Band. The band, which was firstly formed in 2007, consisted of Ichan vocalist, Gugun guitarist, Lalan bassist and Nitsan drummer and percussionist, who replacing Nayaka in June 2011. Their debut album, Everything Goes Automatic, become collaboration of Strangers Band, along with many big names in the Indonesian music industry, such as Wong Aksan, music composer, Prama Hanindya, the vocal coach, and Devi Umaya Rahman, field producer. Besides 2 and 11 radio charts in the country, Strangers also got good reviews from mass media such as Pikiran Rakyat, Hai, Grey, Juni, and Rolling Stone Indonesia. Listener, let's listen to the first song by Strangers Band entitled Bonfire.
Show me your love, no need to get rust and sin. Destiny calls to where we are now. Together we laugh and cry till we drown. Tears flowing hard when you feel alone inside. Bless me with all you have, hold me with all you mind. Come on. Destiny calls to where we are now. Together we laugh and cry till we drown. I'm here to love you if you let me to. Listen to me, be patient with me. Come on, come here and sing with me.
You came to me like a dream.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.